We'll see if Jaden Daniels can keep it up and if the Commanders can come anywhere close to averaging 40 points or keeping that average of 40 points that they established on that little two-game road swing. And a guy who was on that road swing and was at Command Land today in Ashburn and does it all for The Athletic and occasionally with us here on Odyssey DC. You hear him with Coach Sheehan every Monday and Friday at noon is Ben Standig. Hello, Mr. Standig. How are you?
Chris, I am doing great. I was just driving home and happy to be a part of the big show.
Well, I don't know if it's a big show. I don't know anything about that, but I appreciate you, my friend. So I guess, you know, obviously you have a sense of being around them. You can't tell everything. I know access is limited and what have you. But my big, I guess, worry, question, whatever, a couple of things. Do you think they're too high coming off this two-game road trip in which they're getting all the accolades and all the flowers?
Yeah, it's always a tricky thing, right? Because, you know, if you bring it up as a topic, they'll say, hey, no, we're focused on the next game. I don't even know what's going on after Cleveland. You know, we're just focusing on this. And, you know, if you listen to Dan Quinn, honestly, if you listen to Jaden Daniels, Bobby Wagner, Quan Martin, I talked a little about this today. I buy that they believe it, but, you know, we're all humans. It would be reasonable to imagine that, you know, some of that's creeping in. Plus, now they're going home, right? This is the first home game since week two. You know, I'm sure they're going to be hyped, as the fans will be as well. So I think they're in good shape with that, but, you know, it's not like we haven't seen this happen over and over again through the years of sports, that teams get a little high on their own supply and come out a little flat or what have you.
Right.
But, you know, I think they are in a good space on that front, but we'll obviously see on Sunday.
It'll be interesting because, yeah, and you're right. I mean, you know how they're going to answer it pregame, but if they lose on Sunday, you might get some of that. Well, you know, we didn't have a great week of practice. You know, maybe we're looking a little bit too far ahead. You didn't hear this. I don't know if you went back and saw it, but because you were in Cincinnati covering the game for The Athletic. But Terry told Van Pelt on ESPN right after the game on the field, hey, man, we didn't have a very good week of practice leading into the Giants game, which they barely won. But we had a really good week of practice heading into Cincinnati. I don't care so much about maybe getting too high, but is there any sense, any way to sense? Did Dan, you know, Dan's usually pretty honest and open. Any way to sense that if he has been happy with their effort and their crispness, any way to determine that?
I didn't catch any, like, subtle or overt cues from him on that front. You know, they've been pushing, you know, this sort of do the right thing on, you know, when it comes to prepping and playing forever. And obviously this is a lot of, you know, it can sound like hairy high school stuff or coach speak or whatever, but this really has been the mantra for them almost more than anything else. And listening to the players throughout the summer and early part of the season, you know, I believe that they are buying in, but, you know, it is obviously a different world with them being 3-1 and getting talked about in positive ways that we haven't heard about in these parts for years. So right. I don't have that sense right now. But, you know, I guess the thing is also, you know, the Jaden Daniels dynamic here, you know, he's 23, he's a rookie. He's obviously not being looked at by, you know, veterans in that room as any kind of a leader. But the quarterback is always a big-time tone setter, and there is nobody who is more chill or you know, or focus as he is. He doesn't ever seem to get high or low on any of these things, including, you know, he was just named Rookie of the Month. He's been an offensive player, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. The accolades keep coming in, all that. He seems pretty level about it, and I think, again, even though he's a rookie, quarterbacks, you know, are a big-time tone setter, so I think that's got to help. And
no doubt,
this has also worked out. Like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz come into play. That's why you brought them in as much for their veteran leadership as their exploits on the field. And those guys are certainly saying the right things about, you know, staying focused.
Ben Standig with us of The Athletic. Make sure you listen to him on his podcast. Standig, what is it called now? The Last Man Standig podcast? Is that right?
It is. I don't know if it was on purpose, but like the fact that you guys played me in with the Elton John still standing. That's going to be the next, whenever I do another podcast, that'll be the next one.
Whenever you change the name another time, kind of like the team that you cover changes their name, right. And hopefully that's not coming any time soon. Yeah, subscribe to the Last Man Standing podcast. Used to be Standing Room Only, so that's why we're obviously teasing. Read Ben in The Athletic. Of course, you can listen to him with Coach Sheehan Monday and Friday at noon right here on the Team 980. So in terms of this matchup, obviously Jaden is huge. Noah Brown is out. Brian Robinson sounds like a game-time decision, but the arrow pointing up, Eckler back. Against the Browns' defense, like, people are I know people know that the Browns' defense is good, but I don't know if they quite know. You know, like, they haven't allowed more than 20 points in three games, right? I know they got lit up a little bit by the Cowboys, but this is going to be tough. Would you say 24 is the magic number, and how would you say they're going to have to attack?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like, you know, for all the feel good right now with this team, I think these next two games against the Browns and Ravens will really tell us a lot about the offense and the team as a whole, because the Ravens and Browns are legit defenses. I mean, Myles Garrett is arguably the number one defender in the whole league, and that's what the Washington offensive line is going to face this week. They're going to have to get, you know, really slow him down, or he can be, you know, that type of one-man wrecking crew. I think this is where the Brian Robinson piece is really key. You know, I know that people are aware that he's having a good year, but, you know, he really gives them such an element, the toughness element. He's getting good yards constantly on first down. You know, and when you have that kind of balanced attack, it makes life so much easier for the young quarterback, for the offensive line, et cetera. You take him out, and even though Austin Eckler looked good before the injury and Jeremy McNichols had a somewhat surprisingly effective performance last week, it's not the same deal as having Robinson in there. So I think you really need to have him there to give them that balanced attack, keep Cleveland's pass rush, you know, guessing a bit. They've also got some pretty good corners out there. Mm-hmm. As simple as it is, or, you know, obvious, you know, they got to, you know, win the turnover battle. Like, yeah. One of the things that's happened here is Jaden Daniels, other than the one interception last week, has, you know, been turnover free, and that's so huge in general, especially for an offense. I know they've been scoring at a ridiculously efficient rate, but they still don't have, in my view, you know, explosive playmakers across the board. They've been very methodical and effective, but you start getting behind, and, you know, let's see what happens. But, you know, they've got to avoid the turnovers, and last week they were really good on third down and held Arizona in check. They still are last in the league in third down defensive conversions, so they've got to tighten up there. Fortunately, Cleveland's offense has been pretty lousy this year, so a good opportunity to keep that momentum they had defensively last week.
But you know what, Ben? Like, while I've been a champion of at least being optimistic about the defense even before last week, I thought in Cincinnati, you know, they got off the field a couple of times in the first half, what have you. Like, this, not only is this the type of offense that you can get healthy on and create some of those takeaways, because they only have two of those, but it's also the type of offense, and I keep struggling with this in my mind, right? Like, I was watching a bunch of the Browns game back against the Vegas Raiders, and it's all short stuff. It's all stuff, you know, swings, screens, what have you, but they still have some guys that can take the top off. And Deshaun looks like, I mean, clearly he's not the same, but he still can hurt you with his legs, I think, and it still seems like he's got some pretty good zip. If they can protect him, and that's been an issue, if they can protect him, I think this is a Browns offense that can hurt them a little bit, and I can't get past that feeling.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'll come back to the Browns in a second, but, you know, Washington's defense did a pretty good job last week, but I am still rather skeptical that this is a championship level, playoff level defense from what we've seen. I think the cornerback situation, you know, give them credit. I think Kyler Murray was holding onto the ball a bit last week, mm-hmm, because he wasn't finding a lot of guys open. At the same time, number one receivers have been crushing this defense all year. Mike Evans, Malik Nabers, Jamar Chase, Marvin Harrison Jr. all scored touchdowns, at least one. A couple of them had two and 100-yard games to boot. And you've got Amari Cooper here with the Browns. I'd be stunned if he doesn't have a good game. And, yeah, I think this is the huge question. You know, it's an offense that Washington's defense could take advantage of and continue to build a case that they are a viable partner with the offense. But on the other hand, if you tell me they're going to get smoked even by a team that hasn't scored 20 points in a game yet, I wouldn't sit here and go, well, that's insane. So, you know, the pass rush last week was very effective. They doubled the number of sacks on the year. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the secondary was better. Joe Witt Jr. has talked about guys like Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner who are providing that aggression that he is looking for. So there are pieces there, but I just still worry that, you know, the lack of consistent pass rush and the corner play is just going to make them, you know, for certain offenses, a bit of a sitting duck until proven otherwise. And this doesn't seem like one of those teams, but, you know, that's why, you know, the Cleveland's looking at it the same way. Hey, we got to break out of our slump, and we've got to get going. What better team to do it against than a one that ranks 30th in DVOA, last in three-point opponent conversions, the third down conversions, et cetera. So it's arguably not a big test, and simultaneously, if they're going to show that they're real defense, then this is one where they need to step up.
An old friend, Dustin Hopkins, makes his return to Northwest Stadium. I almost called it FedEx.
Both kickers have revenge games.
No, it's true. Very, very true. My friend, I appreciate you. I got to run because we're way past the bottom of the hour, and I got to, you know how this radio clock thing works. We got to actually pay some bills around here. But I appreciate you. Look forward to chatting it up with you in person on Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Maybe we'll have a meal or two as we get ready to watch a little Sunday afternoon football.
All right, I appreciate it, man. Have a good one. I'll see you Sunday.
That is my guy, Ben Standing of The Athletic. And again, make sure you check out the Last Man Standing podcast, available now to subscribe. Ben does an excellent, excellent job.